Welcome to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Guardians Radio Network. Guardians Weekly is brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Target Field in Minneapolis, where the Guardians are taking on the Minnesota Twins this weekend. Good show lined up for you today. A little bit later on, we will hear from a couple of Guardians relief pitchers. Cade Smith, the rookie who made his major league debut in fine style in the Oakland series to start the season, and Tyler Beede, who has been terrific out of the bullpen as well for the Guardians, for a bullpen that has fared quite well so far this season. We'll also be joined by Seattle Mariners outfielder but Cleveland native Dominic Canzone, who hit his first home run of the season against Cleveland in the Seattle series, and we'll hear from him a little bit later on in our show as well. We'll also have our week in review coming your way shortly, but first these reminders. Our show now heard in Cleveland on our flagship station, WTAM, at 7 a.m. on Saturday mornings. That is our new showtime for you each week. But, of course, you can hear it on various stations on our Cleveland Guardians radio network, as well as in podcast form wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Stay with us when we come back. It's our week in review. Guardians off to a hot start in the young season. We'll hear about it next on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians radio network.
With Progressive Snapshot, you could save on auto insurance rates by driving safely, which is great because you're rarely rewarded for just being you. Ever get rewarded for being left-handed? No. You get to use weird scissors. Your reward for being a Capricorn? Cold birthdays that conflict with the holidays. And your reward for quickly responding to every work email? More emails. But with Snapshot, even left-handed Capricorns with proper email etiquette could get rewarded for good driving. So download the Progressive app today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
Making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Jim Rosenhaus back with you. It is Guardians Weekly from Target Field in Minneapolis this week. And it is a long road trip to start the season. Three cities, 10 games. And it began in Oakland with the Guardians taking 3 out of 4 from the Athletics. And then earlier this week, it was on to Seattle, where Monday night the Mariners came away with a 5-4 win in the series opener. But the Guardians would battle back and even up the series on Tuesday night behind the strong right arm of Shane Bieber, who has been terrific so far in the young season. He won on opening night. And this time he was matched up with Luis Castillo in a tremendous pitching matchup in Seattle on Tuesday night. And for the Guardians, Bieber was sharp early in his second start of the season.
Now Bieber the wind and the payoff pitch to Canzone. And it's strike three called, looking at a slider. So Bieber gets his first strikeout. Now the wind, now the pitch. Swing and a miss. Good slider got him. Bieber looks like he's getting sharper. 3 in the books, Cleveland and Seattle scoreless.
Cleveland got the scoring started in the fourth inning with a runner on and Will Brennan at the plate. Another 0-2 pitch coming to Brennan. Here it is. Swung on, line drive, base hit into right field. Ramirez makes the turn. He'll head to third, and it's bobbled out there by Haniger. Ramirez rounding third. He's heading for home. There'll be no relay. Jose Ramirez scores from first base thanks to the error by the right fielder Mitch Haniger. And Will Brennan with a base hit ends up at second base, and the Guardians have the lead, 1-0. And then Bo Naylor put a charge into one. Here's the pitch. Swung on, and there's a high fly ball. Deep right field, way back there. Home run, Bo Naylor. And just like that, the Guardians are in front, 3-0 on Naylor's first home run of the season. The Guardians added to their lead in the fifth. Brian Rocchio got it started with a double, and then Stephen Kwan delivered. Top of the lineup, Stephen Kwan steps in, bunts. Third base side of the mound, good bunt. Picked up by the third baseman, Rojas, and he throws it away. Past the first baseman, that will allow Rocchio to score. And the Guardians now lead it 4-0. Sloppy defense strikes again for the Mariners, and the Guardians take full advantage, and they now lead it by 4 runs. And with a 4-0 lead, Bieber went back to work. Here's the 1-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. And Bieber with a show of emotion as he strikes out Crawford. He's pumped up.
This is not a good matchup for Mitch Garver. Shane Bieber pretty much owns him. Now the 2-strike delivery. Swing and a miss on a slider. Bieber gets his 9th strikeout, wipes out Garver. 6 in the books, Cleveland 4, Seattle nothing.
In the 7th, it was back-to-back singles from Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor. That brought Tyler Freeman to the plate.
Right-hander, he's ready. Here it comes. And Freeman, with a runner going, sends one in the air to right. Going back is Haniger. He'll make the catch in front of the track. He'll throw to first. Back with a slide is Naylor. Tagging and scoring is Ramirez. So Tyler Freeman comes through with good situational hitting, with a drive to fairly deep right. And the sac fly puts Cleveland on top 5-0. Freeman has 4 RBIs on the year.
The Mariners broke up the shutout bid with 2 runs in the 7th inning, making it 5-2. And then Emmanuel Clase came on in the 9th, looking to nail down his 2nd save of the season.
Now the 0-2 pitch. Strike 3 called, ball game. Crawford is out looking. The Guardians pitching staff strikes out a dozen. And the Guardians tonight, behind the right arm of Shane Bieber, have even the series, beating Seattle 5-2.
The rubber match Wednesday afternoon at T-Mobile Park in Seattle, and it was a quick start for the Guardians offense against Seattle starter George Kirby. They had 2 men on in the 1st inning with Jose Ramirez stepping in.
Now the 2-1 pitch. Swung on, ripped to deep right field, and this ball is going to short hop the wall. Extra bases for Ramirez on his way to 2nd. In to score is Kwan. On his way to 3rd, Jimenez, and Cleveland jumps out to a 1-0 lead. 3 batters in. An absolute missile that never got very high off the ground and short hopped the wall in right field. And Jose Ramirez, as his 1st double of the year, his 5th RBI of the year, and Cleveland's got a chance to have a big 1st inning.
Josh Naylor followed with an RBI ground out to make it 2-0, and then Will Brennan kept the big inning going.
Now the pitch. Swung on, pulled on the ground. A 2nd off the glove of Polanco. Rolls towards shallow right. Safe at 1st is Brennan. In the scores, Ramirez. 3-0 Cleveland. With the infield drawn in, a sharply hit ground ball to the 2nd baseman, Polanco, and it kicked off his glove and rolled into shallow right. And the Guardians have a 3-0 lead. They still have a runner at 1st. There is still only 1 out. RBI number 2 for Will Brennan.
In the 2nd, it was Brian Rocchio and Stephen Kwan with singles to bring Andres Jimenez to the plate with men in scoring position.
Kirby. Hands held just above the belt. Runner goes. Pitch swung on. Smash to 1st. Under the glove of France. Into right field. On his way to third is Kwan. In to score is Rocchio. Hit first, slide into second. Jimenez is there, and the Guardians keep pouring it on. 4-0 Cleveland. Still nobody out. Runners at second and third, and that should be an error on France at first, who went to backhand that sharp ground ball. And now they're ruling this a base hit and an RBI. Well, Jimenez will take it. I guarantee you George Kirby thought that play should have been made at first. And so give Jimenez his sixth RBI. Write it in pencil, folks.
Two batters later, Josh Naylor knocked in another run.
Infield in. Here's the pitch. A swing and a fly ball. Shallow left. Moore coming in. Tagging at third is Kwan. Catch is made. Kwan's coming home. Throw to the plate. Off target. The slide. Safe! Advancing to third on a tag is Jimenez. The throw was a little bit outside the foul line near home plate, so it took the catcher Zavala to his left, and then Kwan slid in feet first to the inside of home plate. Man, it was close.
Meanwhile, on the mound, Logan Allen, the lefty, he had it all working.
Logan Allen checks first. He'll come to the plate. And strike three called. Rodriguez didn't like the call. Thought the changeup was high. He has words leaving home plate. He has struck out twice. That's four for Logan Allen.
Then the offense was back at it in the fourth inning. A single from Kwan, another from Jimenez. That set the table for Jose Ramirez. Kirby from the stretch delivers. And there's a swing and a line drive hit high and deep toward right. And it plugs against the bottom of the fence. Extra bases for Ramirez. A run is in. That's Kwan. Advancing to third is Jimenez. And Jose Ramirez, now with a pair of RBI doubles, has helped the Guardians tack on another run. It is now 6-0 Cleveland. Josh Naylor followed a sac fly for his third run batted in on the day, despite going hitless. And that made it 7-0 Cleveland. When Will Brennan kept the rally going. Here's his pitch. Swung on, line drive, right center, base hit Brennan. That'll bring in another run. And it is now 8-0 Cleveland on the RBI single for Brennan. His third run driven in on the year. And the beat goes on for Cleveland. And good for Will Brennan. He has at least three extremely well hit balls that have been turned into outs with great defensive plays this season. So there, it kind of looked like he caught one maybe off the end of the bat and just kind of floated it out into right center field and rewarded with a base hit for putting it in play with two strikes. Logan Allen, along with the bullpen combo of Nick Sandlin, Cade Smith, well, they kept the Mariners off the board through eight. And then Tim Herron was on in the ninth to try and complete the shutout.
The pitch swung on a little floater. Shallow left, Kwan coming in, makes the running catch, ball game. And the Guardians take another series as they beat up the Seattle Mariners today, 8-0. Their second shutout of the campaign, Logan Allen with 6 2/3 scoreless innings, and Cleveland now at 5-2.
So a solid win to take a series from the Mariners, 8-0 on Wednesday at Seattle. And a lengthy flight to Minnesota had the Guardians ready to go for the Twins home opener on Thursday afternoon at Target Field in Minneapolis. First meeting of the season between the two AL Central Division rivals. Pablo Lopez versus Tanner Bibee was the pitching matchup.
Bases loaded, two down, the payoff pitch. Strike three, call! Painted the inside corner with that same slider. Bibee got the call this time. He screams into his glove, heading to the third base dugout. The next offering, hit on the ground again to the second baseman. Another easy inning. Julian throws over, and I don't know if Lopez has broke a sweat yet. He is making it look easy. He is perfect through three, and we are scoreless in the third. The 2-2. Swing and a miss. Got him with another good slider. Bibee has struck out six, and he had his best inning by far. Three in the books, Cleveland and Minnesota. No score.
In the fourth, the Guardians got things going with singles from Stephen Kwan and Andres Jimenez. And then it was Jose Ramirez continuing to rack up the RBIs. Here comes his payoff pitch. Swung on, line drive, right center field, base hit. Scoring is Kwan. On his way to third is Jimenez, and Jose Ramirez comes through with an RBI single to put the Guardians in front 1-0. Boy, just like they would draw it up with the lineup. Back-to-back singles by Kwan and Jimenez, and then Ramirez with a single to right center. Two batters later, Tyler Freeman's strong start to the season continued. Here comes the 0-1. Swung on, lined right side, sinking fast, shallow right, and it falls in for a base hit. Ramirez scores. Naylor makes it to third, stops there, and Tyler Freeman gives the Guardians a two-run lead with an opposite field single to shallow right center. And the Guardians continue to click here in the fourth inning. Will Brennan followed with a sac fly to make it 3-0 Cleveland. Then the Twins got on the board in the fifth on a solo home run from Edward Julian. But the Guardians got that run right back in the sixth thanks to some sloppy defense from Minnesota.
Payoff pitch. Swung on, a broken bat chopper in the hole. Booted by Correa, and everybody moves up a base. Now going too far around second is Naylor. Now the throw to the plate, Laureano, and a run down between home and third. And the ball bobbled, the throw, and he is tagged out at the plate. And the throw hung on to by Carlos Santana, who made the tag at home plate. Naylor ran Cleveland out of the inning. After Carlos Correa booted the ball at short, Brennan scores a gift run. The bases still should be loaded, but a base running mistake costs Cleveland, and we will go to the bottom of the sixth with Cleveland up 4-1.
And then in the bottom of the sixth inning, Tanner Bibee continued to pile up the strikeouts.
Here's the wind, and Bibee's 2-2 pitch. Strike three called! Painted the outside corner, strikeout number 9 for Bibee. Correa retired. Here is Carlos Santana batting left-handed. Bibee's day is done. What an effort. He gives up one run. He'll leave here in the sixth. Cleveland up 4-1.
The Twins got a little closer with a run in the seventh. That made it 4-2. Scott Barlow worked a scoreless eighth. And then in the ninth, it was Emmanuel Clase on to try and close it out.
Now the 1-0 pitch. Swung on, line to center field, but right there is Freeman. Ball game! And the Guardians keep on rolling. They take care of the Twins in game one and are winners by a final score of 4-2.
So a nice start to the series in Minnesota for the Guardians with that 4-2 victory over the Twins on Thursday afternoon. Stay with us when we come back. We'll head to that Guardians bullpen. We'll hear from rookie Cade Smith and veteran Tyler Beatty. That's coming your way next on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Boy, this has got a chance to be another fun summer off the shores of Lake Erie. The Major League debut of Cade Smith. Smith with that mid-90s fastball. He's also got the slider and the split finger. 6'5", 230 out of Vancouver. The next offering, a swing and a miss. Cade Smith strikes out the first Major League hitter he faces. Right on right, here's the pitch. Swing and a miss with a wicked slider. Cade Smith, you can't do better in a Major League debut than what he did. He strikes out the side.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Target Field in Minneapolis, where the Guardians are taking on the Twins this weekend. They won the opener of the series on Thursday afternoon, and it's been a solid road trip so far. Cleveland now 6-2 to start the season, heading into their off day on Friday. And one of the reasons why, good work by the bullpen. From some unexpected sources, Cade Smith made his Major League debut last weekend in Oakland after making the ball club out of spring training. It wasn't easy. There was a numbers game going on that potentially could have seen him left off the roster, but he was named to the roster the day before the opener, and he has been solid so far. In his Major League debut against the Athletics It was two scoreless innings with five strikeouts. And after that game, he talked about how it felt to be out there facing major league hitters for the first time.
Well, I think the cool thing about it was that it wasn't too different from, you know, from what spring training felt like. Being able to just go out there and compete like normal, trust my stuff, and not, you know, not expect it to be a different game. It's still the same game. So I'm still going to go out and try and do the same things that I do and trust my stuff and, you know, not feel like I have to do anything more or anything less just because it is a regular season game.
You hear players say that all the time, and coaches say that to players. How are you able to actually do that, though?
Yeah, it's just about kind of taking the time to breathe and slow down and enjoy the moment and, you know, not start to rush and move too quick, but really just to be present.
You mentioned enjoying the moment, and from our vantage point up in the booth, we could see your family behind the first base dugout. Were you able to acknowledge them on the way back, the two innings that you worked?
Yeah, I got to see them when I came off the field after my first inning, but it looked like they were having fun. They were cheering and standing and screaming, so it was really cool.
And everybody has a different journey. Because of where you're from, what did it mean to you that they were able to get here, and what were some of the challenges that they had?
Well, it wasn't really for sure that they'd be able to come. There was a lot of uncertainty this week leading up to it, but then the whole story with my dad having to get squeezed in to see the cardiologist at lunchtime on Tuesday, I think, and get cleared to fly the next day. And really up until that point, we weren't sure he'd be able to come. But, I mean, God opens and closes doors as he sees fit, and thankfully he was able to come down and be a part of that.
Kate, a little bit unusual for you in terms of how you were told you had made the team, because it wasn't 100%. And how was that week where you were kind of in limbo and not 100% sure that you were on the opening day roster?
Yeah, it was the same thing when you deal with any type of uncertainty. You don't want to let yourself get too high. You don't want to let yourself get too low. Just, you know, trust, like I said, God's going to open and close doors as he sees fit. So all I can do is kind of take it one day at a time. Do what I can, you know, do what I do, focus on what I can control, and not let those things that are outside of my control bother me or affect, you know, the way I go about my business and how I treat people.
With that said, when you did finally find out officially, explain that moment, how you found out, and what that was like.
Well, I think it was when the Guardians posted the opening day roster, and my name was on it, and my family was like, are we allowed to celebrate right now? And so briefly they did, and then we went straight back to hanging out and playing cards because, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to get too high or too low, but just stay even keeled as best I can and continue with my work and just do it that way, I guess.
And, oh, by the way, you had a really good debut with a ton of strikeouts over two innings. Not that you need validation of your stuff because you were in spring training and as you worked your way up, but does it kind of validate that you belong up here and that your stuff's good enough to play?
I think so for sure. And you know, it's good to get the first one out of the way and just start looking forward to the next one, right? And that's what it comes down to, is taking it one day at a time, being ready every game, trying to help the team win and do what I can to contribute in that way.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
That is young, hard-throwing right-hander Cade Smith, who figures to be a key part of this bullpen as the season develops. Another key pitcher in the early going has been veteran Tyler Beede. And Beede, he's been in the major leagues quite some time with the San Francisco Giants, but last year pitched in Japan. Now he's back, and after signing a minor league deal with the Guardians, he had to make the roster as a non-roster invite. He did, and at the end of spring training, it was his former catcher with the Giants, Stephen Vogt, who told him the good news that he would be on the ball club for opening day.
Yeah, it was incredible. Special moment for Vogt and I. You know, he had mentioned that this was his first meeting of the day where he had good news for someone and was appreciative that it was me. And yeah, we have you know, a history together as player, as teammates. And so now to have sort of our first interaction as a coach and or manager and player be that, making the team, incredible.
You sign here as a non-roster invite. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance that things don't go the way they've worked out. There's some risk involved, I guess, is the best way to put it. The way it turned out, though, did it reaffirm maybe what you thought of this organization coming in?
Yeah, I like the way you put that. There is risk involved. I just knew that this was the best place for me as a player and as a person too. I think that's been affirmed over the weeks that I've been here with the interactions I've had, conversations I've had. But, you know, the pitching group is obviously well-known, highly recognized, the way that they've developed pitchers. The rotation that they constantly have is always high level. So I knew that I would benefit from being here. Making the team, it wasn't like an expectation that I put on myself. So I just wanted to come into camp and just be myself, kind of put on display what I've learned over the last 12 months being in Japan, how I've sort of revamped myself, and see where the chips would fall. You know, I was happy being in Columbus if that was the play, just so, you know, I can continue to grow and develop, but obviously, you know, ecstatic that I made the team.
You mentioned Japan, and you had a really short window to make that decision on going there. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that and what led you there in a very much positive way.
Yeah, you essentially became a free agent in 2022 offseason, and first contact I had was from Tokyo Giants, and they basically gave me a 48-hour window to make the decision. The way the things work over there is they have a list of guys that they sort of try to go down throughout the offseason, and they don't want to take too long so that they don't miss out on certain other guys, right, if I were to say no. But ended up being a decision that my wife and I were really ecstatic about, honored by. Such a storied franchise over there, sort of like the Yankees of Japan. And was able to have the chance to go over there, and it was a special year. Really, it really was. Our first son was born, and sort of had his first year of life over there. So it was just a really incredible year for us, and set us up for this opportunity to come back.
Not everyone embraces that. The going over to Japan are so much different. Why did you like it so much?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, the people are incredible. I think that's the first thing that I always try to say is they're so friendly, supportive, just like adored my family and made us feel special and at home over there in a different country. It's just a really beautiful place to be, fun place to travel around, super clean. They love baseball. I mean, you're playing in front of incredible crowds and atmospheres from spring training game one all the way to the end of the season. So just so many memorable moments, but it had a lot to do with the fans, my teammates, and just the people I interacted with over there. Yeah.
Tyler Beatty joining us. He's made the ball club, and obviously pitching-wise, what did that season in Japan do for you in terms of changes that you've been able to implement now?
Yeah, you know, I developed a lot of confidence in myself over there. A lot of things that I wanted to work on and just discover about myself, and really just own who I was as a player and as a person. So I just got to really, you know, put things into play over there and experience things from a pitching standpoint that I really hadn't given myself the freedom to explore over in the States. More just kind of room to do that over there versus the confines of sort of professional baseball here in the States. And so, you know, anytime you see guys go over there, it's sort of that they're given that opportunity to be themselves in that atmosphere. So, you know, I got to, you know, really compete in the zone more than I have before and just learn how my stuff plays in the zone to different types of hitters and learn a few new pitches that I wanted to experiment with and, you know, ended up being successful for me enough to want them to be my main pitchers coming back in the States. And so really those things in total were kind of what set me up to feel confident in coming back to compete for an MLB roster spot.
And you obviously make an opening day roster at a very different stage in your career than maybe the first time. Can you tell us about the first time you made a major league roster and how different it was compared to what you went through this week?
Yeah, you know, this, I don't want to say that this one feels more special than the first one because your first one is always pretty special. This one just feels more, I'll just be transparent, it just feels more deserved. You know, I just feel like I really showcased, you know, certain things about my game that feel, you know, have compelled the club to add me to the roster. And the first time was special, obviously, with San Francisco, and loved that group that I came up with and got to be a part of for opening day there in San Francisco. But this one just feels a little bit more special, and I'm grateful for it. I'm 30 now. I know these opportunities are few and far between. At any point, this jersey could be taken off, and it could be done. But I'm just really trying to soak this one in. I know this doesn't happen too often. Grateful for a second chance, and excited to help this ball club win games this year.
That's veteran pitcher Tyler Beatty
talking about some of the things that he hopes makes him a key part of this ball club throughout the season. Stay with us when we come back. It's our final segment after this timeout on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Now the next offering, and Beattie gets him swinging over the top of a splitter. So McCann becomes the 12th Oakland A to strike out today. Cleveland struck out 13 on Thursday night.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy you happiness, but money did help you buy an RV, which means an excuse from working Saturday with your insufferable coworker, Dave. So money is helping you listen to birds chirp instead of Dave chirping about how his toddler is fluent in three languages. And it's also why you'll be smelling pine trees in the air, not Dave's tuna melt reheating in a microwave. So save money by bundling your RV or boat insurance with home or auto from Progressive and buy more happiness or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers, not available in all states.
One nothing Seattle, and runners at the corners. And here is Cleveland's own Dominic Canzone. And what a moment this is for this young man. Dominic went to Walsh Jesuit High School and then became an Ohio State Buckeye. Drafted by Arizona, traded here to Seattle. Canzone, a left-handed hitter, 6 feet, 190. Infield back, double play depth. And the pitch, and a curve down low. Nice block by Naylor. Ball kicks out in front of the plate. And it's a big night for him. His mom and dad are still living back in the Cleveland area. His father, David Canzone, and his mom, Amy Miklas. You know how proud they are of their son. Now the 1-0 pitch. And he looks at a heater strike. And the count 1-1. Seattle got him near the trade deadline last summer from Arizona. Remember, Seattle traded their closer, Paul Sewald, to Arizona. The pitch. Swung on, hammered. Deep left center field. This ball is gone. Cleveland kid with a memory that'll last a lifetime. A three-run home run to left center against the team he grew up cheering for. Canzone's first home run as a Mariner, his first RBIs. Wow. That's a Hollywood script.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you for our final segment as the Guardians are taking on the Twins this weekend here at Target Field in Minneapolis. Earlier on the road swing, they ran into Seattle outfielder Dominic Canzone, who hit a home run in the series opener there on Monday night. And for Canzone, it was something special. He's a Cleveland native, went to Walsh Jesuit High School and also Ohio State, so the Cleveland roots run deep. He was a Cleveland Indians fan growing up, and we'll hear about just how much of an Indians fan he was in just a little bit. But he hit that three-run home run to help lead the Mariners to a win on Monday night. We caught up with him the following day, and he talked about how special that was just facing the team that he grew up rooting for the first time.
That definitely had a huge impact. That was a truly special moment just for me, not just myself, but my family and friends watching from back home. So just overall, just a great night.
And interesting, we saw you out taking early batting practice yesterday. Sometimes when you work on something, it doesn't click in for an extended period of time, but it sounded like it clicked right in for you. Were you working on something specific that really helped last night?
Yeah, I was just trying to get back to the roots and get on time for the heater, and we did a lot of machine work with that yesterday before everything kind of started up. So that was the biggest thing, is just yesterday, just trying to get off a couple of good swings and try to be myself.
born and raised Northeast Ohio and still live there. How long have you been, back in the day, a Tribe fan and growing up and all that?
My whole life. My whole life, for sure. I grew up going to Tribe games. So, yeah, again, it was just great to be able to play against them, and just a privilege, really, just to have everybody watching from back home.
When someone says November 2nd, 2016, what does that mean to you?
I'm pretty sure that was Game 7. I was at that game. I was up the first base line about the second deck with my dad. I think a friend of his or two. And, it was just – obviously it didn't turn out the way that we wanted, but still just probably one of the most historical baseball games of all time.
When you look at growing up as a baseball fan, all of a sudden you're in high school and then you have a chance maybe to go on and play at the next level. Ohio State is where you did that. How early did that come about, and what did it mean to you to be able to play for the Buckeyes?
It was another just kind of dream come true, where I've been a Buckeye fan my whole entire life as well, so grew up watching all the football games. So that was, as soon as they called, I was on board. It didn't matter what they could throw on my way. I was going there, so that was truly special too, as well.
It works out. You have some time in the major leagues with Arizona and now with Seattle. But in the wintertime, you're back home in Northeast Ohio. What's your setup back there, and then why do you head back to that part of the country when so many guys will end up setting up shop near spring trainings in Florida or Arizona?
Just friends and family, really. I just got a place in Cleveland, so just to be able to spend time with them. It's really hard to stay in contact with them just being on the West Coast most of the year, so whenever I can be home, I'm more of a homebody, so I like to be home.
And when you look at your opportunity here, interesting summer for you in that you had reached the major leagues with Arizona. But from your perspective, what did you think of the trade, and how's it working out?
Again, at first you're like, oh gosh, I got to go away from all my buddies. I grew up in the system with Alec, Corbin, Fletcher, all the pitchers, Nelson, Jameson. So it was, first I was like, dang, like those are my best friends and most reliable guys. But at the same time, I knew from a career standpoint, it was best for me to go elsewhere. And it definitely worked out for both sides. Arizona got to make the World Series, which is great seeing them. And then from the Mariners side, just being able to get some really good pieces offensively. So it worked out for both sides, and I'm really just happy it happened.
Well, a nice moment for you last night, for sure. Thanks a lot for coming by. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Nice to meet Dominic Canzone, who's off to a good start this season with Seattle as he tries to solidify a spot on a major league roster this season. That's going to do it for our show this week. As always, thanks to Brian Motze for all of his help in putting together our show each and every week. Until next week, when we join you from back home in Cleveland at Progressive Field, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Guardians Weekly has been brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.